Welcome to the Back Ass Words podcast. We are the Back Ass Words boys. I'm Kyle. I use he, they pronouns. And joining me from our beautiful Colorado studio is Arden.
And I use he, him pronouns.
Tonight, guys, gals, and NB pals, we are going to be giving you our full Back Ass Words stance on our absolutely insanely big 10-part series that we just wrapped up on JFK.
And I am super excited to be here.
But guys, we haven't really talked about it much, at least at the top of the show, since we did our big launch. So we just wanted to plug it again here. We have a Patreon now that you guys can support and get bonus content. If 10 parts of JFK wasn't enough to satiate your Kyle and Arden needs, you can get over to Patreon. Throw us $5 a month and you get a bonus episode every single week. We've already got, 10?
We've got 11
at this
now.
Point.
11 yeah. or 12.
We've got a nice backlog over there already, and you're just going to keep getting more of them.
The Wednesday Phenomena is a really, really fun show. We do a lot of really fun, really cool shit on that show. We've tried a lot of new things in that process as well. And so it's a really, really fun time. It's an exciting time. You also get access to our Discord and all that stuff. We try to be as interactive as possible. It is so much
fun. Shout out on the main show.
You do get a shout out on one of the mainline episodes, of which this is not of. You probably noticed.
Yeah, this is a little bonus episode that we're giving you this week. We didn't want to talk for 45 minutes at the end of JFK Part 9 about this. And so we're doing it as its own little thing. We're going to try it out with our deep dives here and see how we feel about it. So we're just going to kind of talk it out a little bit. So we do always list our sources for the episodes, and so our sources for this episode were the Back Ass Words podcast and their series on JFK, specifically episodes 1 through 9. And they're great. Go give the Back Ass Words podcast a listen. The guy that did the research on that, phenomenal job.
Oh my god, he did such a phenomenal job. Shout out to the Back Ass Words boys, honestly.
I think we're their biggest fans over here.
I think so too. Dude. That was great. I really liked how you did it.
But obviously, you guys, we still are not scholars, and we are probably going to get some things wrong.
Like, possibly what happened to JFK?
We'll see. We are also not linguists. We're probably going to say some things wrong. I don't have a script in front of me, so it's going to be a fun one tonight.
We're kind of running and gunning this. We have some things prepared, but yeah, we might say some things wrong.
Now hold on to your asses and get your notebooks out, because things are about to get backwards. Arden, go ahead.
I have got my absolute fucking game face on. I can't wait to talk about all of this bullshit, dude.
Arden has been looking forward to this since episode 4. He has had shit to get off of his chest. I am so excited to hear Arden go off in this episode.
And just before we get into all of this, this series really has been quite an emotional journey for me. Kyle has taken me all over the place.
Let's take a minute and talk about that, Arden. We've mentioned it a lot, but your brain has been in a pretty constant state of being melted over the last 2.5 months.
Right.
I know I definitely took some tacks doing the research on this, but how are you feeling at the end of this? How is your brain doing?
I mean, my brain is doing as good as it can. I would say that it's fine at this point, especially now that we've wrapped up the series. I think a lot of those higher emotional moments where I would literally stop you dead in your tracks to go through something. We're very much in the moments type of things that were happening, but I am feeling very, very, it's kind of hard to describe. I feel a little empty, which is weird for me to say on my podcast about a conspiracy series. You know what I mean? I feel a little,
I'm right there with you. Yeah.
In the sense of it's like what you said at the end of part 9, Kyle, and I have to give you credit for this. They have never, we don't know a fraction of what happened. Like, we truly have no idea. And I think, and maybe, and I don't know, I knew that we were going to talk about this at some point, and maybe this is just the time to bring it up, because this is how I am feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Again, with conspiracies, it is so fucking important to distinguish between what you know and what you do not know. Conspiracies are in their own category for a reason, and it's because these things, unfortunately, and especially unfortunately to people like me and Kyle who are just genuinely interested in these things, conspiracies can get really fucking dangerous, folks.
Yeah.
And like, and it can be extremely damaging to people's lives when you talk about stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is where you were leading me to, at least. One thing that Arden and I have put off talking about on record, this whole series that we've been talking about off camera, is something that was really, really interesting to see on my end, in that the second that I started researching this, and especially the conspiracy side, but even when I was just trying to get the official story down on paper, the second that I started looking into it, every single ad that I started getting online were right-wing, right-leaning products or courses or scams, on top of straight-up right-wing political ads. And it was really interesting to see how quickly that happened, because we've talked about, like, with Flat Earth, right? We've talked about how that's kind of the bottom of the barrel of conspiracy theories, right? The JFK assassination is the top of the barrel. It's pulling the lid off of the barrel to get in, right?
Right.
It's where so many people get pulled into that pipeline. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to call myself smart or smarter than anyone else. I'm not. But I have that media literacy to be able to recognize that, whereas a lot of people don't. You know, yeah. Especially a lot of the people that are targeted by this pipeline leading to the right and the alt-right and these extremist conspiracy theorists, right?
Right.
And it was kind of scary to see how fast that happened, and to see how easily someone could have been sucked into that just by trying to figure out the truth about this day, right?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, even beyond the political aspects of this that came into play during your research, or at least the political stuff that you were seeing, you had also mentioned to me that you were seeing ads for like survival kits and like doomsday mm-hmm. stuff. And mm-hmm. that is also something that can break somebody's brain. If you mm-hmm. get so far into JFK and you go all the way down the ladder to chemtrails and to fucking all of the MK Ultra, all of this shit, and you go all the way down to the bottom of the flat earth, you are operating in a reality that is, everything is a lie, and nothing that anyone ever tells you can be trusted or believed, and that can break your absolute brain.
It's a very scary, very dangerous place to be.
And even if you are someone who genuinely believes that a lot of those things are lies, very much to what Kyle is saying, like, it's a scary place to be for that individual, because you feel like you can't trust anything. You can't trust anyone. Nothing mm-hmm. that anybody is telling you is true. And it's, in my personal opinion, and this is just me, I don't think it's necessarily fair for people to go through that for like their own personal existence, to be like, oh my God, like, nothing is real. Everybody's lying to me, just because like some people want to sell like a fucking survival kit. Like, yeah, that's not fair.
It's pretty despicable. And that was what was so scary about it for me. Not any right, left political alignment. Just that conspiracy alignment, which we've talked about in the past, is heavily aligned with the political right in the United States. That's mm-hmm. just how it is right now. And it's scary, not because it's the political right, but because of that disassociation from reality and from the people around you. Because time and time again, we find what is the solution to these problems is community. It's not isolation.
Correct.
And that's the problem, is they're selling isolation. You know?
And again, like, not putting ourselves on pedestals or anything, but like, we really try to approach this content as responsibly as possible. Mm-hmm. We'll try to make it entertaining and fun for people to listen to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that we always come back to is we have to be fair, and we have to, you know, tell people as accurately as we can what is going on from our vantage point. And I promise every single person listening to this episode that we are not leading you down a conspiracy pipeline. We are just here to have fun and talk about what potentially happened that day. Exactly. And hopefully place blame on the correct people, which I think we're about to do.
And that is a perfect segue to lead into the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
Oh my God.
Where do you want to start, Arden?
Okay. I think something that's really important to talk about at the top here is, once again, just to kind of get a baseline for everybody listening, perhaps this is your first episode, right?
Right.
Something that Kyle stressed at the beginning of this series that I think was really, really important to stress is, particularly in part one, is how good the Kennedy family was at politics.
Mm-hmm.
And as a byproduct of the Kennedy family being really good at politics, Jack Kennedy was very good at politics. And this is important in the context of, like, not only is he political savvy to get to that position of power, which we can talk about, but he is also politically savvy to have a 77% approval rating,
which is insane.
Unprecedented for, I genuinely think, like, any president since, like, approval ratings were actually, like, being polled and stuff like that, right? And so you pair that with when JFK dies, 80 million people reported crying at the news of JFK being assassinated at the time when the population was, like, what, 160 million people or something?
Something like that, yeah.
That's an insurmountable amount of people who just reported that they were sad when John F. Kennedy died. To kind of bring it back to the reality a little bit, it's like JFK was a very well-liked president who was shot in front of people, and it affected millions and perhaps potentially billions of people when this event happened. But again, the reason that that is so devastating is because JFK is really good at politics.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have anything to add on to that, Professor?
No, I think you hit it right on the head there. It's important. Yeah, it was really important to know that he was the highest ranked, highest liked president out of any president since, by a significant margin.
Mm-hmm.
His average approval rating was 70% over the course of his entire presidency.
Wow. That's crazy.
The closest is FDR at 66.
Wow. So, and FDR was regarded as a very well-liked president, from what I'm to understand, at least. I mean, the man served four terms.
So he did very well. And it's safe to say that he would have won the 1964 election.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think something that's also important to note at the top here before we get into, like, all the conspiracy bullet points is, in terms of JFK's, like, political career, like, what he did when he was in office, two of the major events that, once again, Professor Kyle pointed out to us at the beginning of the series was the nuclear conflict with Cuba, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
That was a very big one.
And John F. Kennedy is claimed with de-escalating that situation by both the United States and Cuba to a certain degree. And
so it's not hard to argue that he literally saved the world.
Yeah, he is credited, like, with stopping nuclear holocaust. You know what I mean?
That's a pretty big bullet on your resume.
And then the second a significant thing that at least we talked about in our series as it pertains to the assassination of JFK was the Bay of Pigs invasion, right?
Yeah, and we very much summarized that. We are going to come back to it at some point for sure.
Yes, but it's its own probably episode, potentially series, but...
Yeah, probably a little mini-series.
But that was a very significant event that happened in American history, and John F. Kennedy was the commander-in-chief at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a reminder, the Bay of Pigs was something that was orchestrated by the CIA, where they were basically going to invade and they
Cuba,
and they were intentionally going to sacrifice a shit ton of American lives and a shit ton of Cuban lives for the hopes that John F. Kennedy, seeing the situation on the ground, would be like, oh, okay, I'm going to send in the air support that you're asking for. And the significant thing here is that JFK saw the situation, saw how many people were dying because the CIA intended for this to happen, and he didn't send in the air support.
Correct.
He embarrassed the CIA, and my favorite phrase is he spanked them in front of the entire world.
Well, yeah, because he embarrassed them by not sending that air support, but more than that, he then publicly called them out about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which pissed off a lot of people in the CIA.
And one last thing that I'll mention is that even though he's not so much a big part of the assassination of JFK, something to also take into consideration here is that his brother, Bobby Kennedy, is attorney general during his presidency. And so, and Bobby was kind of good at his job. And
he was very good at his job.
And he definitely would go for people who were doing wrong things, which might even include the CIA. As foolish as a folly that might have been for Bobby Kennedy, he was the kind of guy who would do that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's all the context we need.
Yeah. They've got 9 episodes of context they can listen to.
Absolutely.
So we've got a bit of a bullet point list here. Let's kind of just start going down it here. The Zapruder film.
I mean, one of the most significant pieces of film in history.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mean, kind of thank God that we have it. But what I will also say is that it definitely complicates things. It makes it, it's not.
It complicates inclusive. The official story at the very least. Yeah.
I mean, I think that.
Back into the left, dude.
Back into the left. That, I mean, like literally, folks, like we talked about it so much, but like. Watch the Zapruder film, like side by side with our commentary, if you have to. Like, it's insane. JFK definitely gets hit in the front right, and he moves back into the left, like Kyle just said.
That's just what happened. That is simply not coming from behind and above him. It's not.
No.
The babushka lady, and I specifically. While talking about the babushka lady, I want to ask you about Beverly Oliver, who we talked about, the woman who claimed to be the babushka lady.
Yeah.
And was, in my opinion, very clearly not the babushka lady that was in the picture. But, and like specifically, I guess the arguments that she was one of the shooters.
You know, so Beverly Oliver. Is an interesting figure, obviously, in this story. I don't know exactly what her motivations were. Because the babushka lady to me is kind of a nothing burger. And like, that's the thing that gets me about it is that like Beverly Oliver being a CIA op is not very likely to me. Like, I don't know why she would come forward on behalf of the CIA. What does the CIA gain from that? Yeah. Or what does the government gain from that? Or what do any of us gain from that, right?
And I guess more importantly, what does the story and the truth gain from her being a CIA agent? You know?
Exactly. Because, like, first of all, she wasn't. Again, no. I think the babushka lady's a nothing burger. But, like,
no.
I guess
but
the
there's also Beverly Oliver's account that she had film that she took that was allegedly taken by some government agents.
That is true. And, I mean... That's about as to me. I don't know, man. Like, that is an interesting point to bring up. I also
she's
feel
not
like
the only person who claims that.
That is true, and so it's not like it's not happening. I don't know. That fucking complicates things for me. Because I was about to say something else. She had film that was confiscated from her, or at least she says she did.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the only thing that the CIA gains from confiscating any sort of film would be, you know, people can't tell that he was shot, you know, the way that you and I think he was shot, or reveal right. other shooters or whatever, right? Because there yeah. are also, because exactly with what you're saying, a lot of people say that they got film confiscated from them. A lot of people also say that they saw someone on the grassy knoll. And there were mm-hmm. probably people filming from the grassy knoll and from across the grassy knoll who got their shit confiscated, right?
Right.
So that is an interesting thing to bring up. Well, maybe she did get film confiscated from her, but she's not the babushka lady.
No. No, she simply isn't.
That's a toughie. I'm going to go ahead and just let it lie at that.
I think that's all that really needs to be said about it.
Yeah.
Another one that really just doesn't have much to it. The Umbrella Man.
One of my favorite parts of this series, honestly.
Absolutely one of my favorite parts of this series. Like, you were protesting something some minor little insignificant thing that his dad did 30 years ago is weird.
That is weird. That's like the only thing that like kind of makes me think that the Umbrella Man was like a signal man.
Yeah.
Because like you did say, and people did see him do this, that like he was opening and closing his umbrella in like a weird mm-hmm. way. He's also carrying an umbrella on a very weird time to carry an umbrella, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like,
he's the only one that has one.
Uh huh. Like, that's the distinguishing factor. And so, it's very interesting that would be his reasoning. So, like, it kind of makes me think that he's a signal guy.
It doesn't, it's not out of the realm of possibility for me.
Yeah. But then I also have to say the dude who came forward and said that he was the Umbrella Man, if the Umbrella Man was a signal guy, it wasn't that fucking guy. Okay.
No. And like, it definitely wasn't the same umbrella.
No, it fucking wasn't. And that's like, I don't know why that part of the story frustrated me so much, but I was like, why did no one fucking ask him? Why did no one call him out and be like, you are lying. That is not the same fucking umbrella.
Yeah.
That's so, it's ridiculous to me. It's ridiculous.
What about the Badge Man? And I think specifically for me with the Badge Man, the idea that J.D. Tippett was the Badge Man.
I don't really know how to approach. Okay, let me answer the question that you're more interested in. I do not think that the Badge Man was J.D. Tippett.
Right.
If there was a Badge Man, it was not J.D. Tippett. I think J.D. Tippett, probably based off what I know, was just being a fucking police officer, just like out in the wild, I guess you could say, in this context, like away from Dealey Plaza,
right?
Like in the general area, but not there. So I do not think that JD Tippett is the Badge Man. I'm curious what you think about that.
No, I don't think he was. And moreover, the Mormon photograph showing the Badge Man is absolute horseshit. That is the grainiest picture I have ever seen. And the fact that on this 2.25-inch photograph, the Badge Man is less than 1/64th of an inch.
Yeah.
Come on.
Get out of here. Like, and that's the thing is like, I looked at that photo, like when we were talking about it during the episode that we talked about it, like I looked at that photo. I tried my damnedest to look at the original and see anything in that section of the goddamn photo that they were talking about. And there is nothing there. And what is additionally hilarious about this is that they sent it to like three fucking places who like do this on like the master level to examine mm-hmm. this photo, like to MIT and shit like that. And everyone was like, there's literally nothing here.
Yeah.
It's so...
I mean, I'm looking at it right now. There is literally nothing there.
It is such a grasp at a straw. I can't even fucking tell you. And additionally, what I think is the only thing that's like really significant about this moment to me is the crazy coincidence that Mary Mormon captured this photo at the moment that she did.
Literally just, like a split second. And like less than a second after the shot. Absolutely crazy.
It is crazy. And again, to reiterate something that Kyle said when we were talking about this, that's not conspiratorial. Even if there was a conspiracy to take that photo at that exact moment, it wouldn't have happened that way if they were trying to do that. It is almost like statistically impossible, even with modern technology, to do something like that. So it's not conspiratorial. It is a happenstance, and it's one of the craziest.
Yeah. But speaking of the Mormon photo, it is taking a picture of the crux of this entire conspiracy, I think. One of the cruxes of this entire conspiracy. And that is something that I think specifically really blew your mind and really changed how you were thinking about this. And that is the grassy knoll.
Yeah. Because
I think we're both in agreement that even though the badge man is absolutely nothing, there was some shady shit happening on the grassy knoll that
yeah.
day. And I think that's the location of a second shooter.
Yes.
And maybe this is where we talk about this. Arden is saying, three shooters, five shots. That's what you settled on, right?
I'm saying two or three shooters, five shots. I'm very solid on the number of shots that happened.
So let's walk through that. Five shots. Okay. First shot.
Shot one comes from shooter one, Texas School Book Depository, misses, hits the curb. Shot two comes from the Texas School Book Depository, shooter one, hits JFK in the neck. Okay. Shot three comes from the grassy knoll, wounds Connolly. Shot four comes from the grassy knoll from an angle, a downward angle in particular, and hits the president in the front right, and he moves back into the left. Shot five also comes from the Texas School Book Depository from either shooter one or shooter three.
Right.
And that's the third shell casing. And that
where does
hits,
that bullet go?
That bullet hits JFK's third thoracic vertebra.
Because
his third thoracic vertebra cannot be the entrance wound to the exit wound in his neck.
Mm-hmm.
It is impossible for that to happen.
Thank you, Arden. Thank you so much.
So... I guess what I'm actually
you paid attention
saying,
in class. Oh my god!
So I guess what I'm actually saying is that shooter one is definitely in the school book depository, and shooter two is definitely at the grassy knoll. I can't decide if shooter three exists, and if shooter three does exist, exists in the Texas school book depository, or the fifth bullet, or you know whatever order it went in. The one that hit his third thoracic vertebra could have also come from shooter one.
Okay.
God damn.
So
Kyle? Holy shit, my professor, my leader.
We're pretty close. We're pretty close. Bullet one misses from the Texas School Book Depository, shooter one.
Hits the curb.
Shot two and three are very close together. They come one from the school book depository, one from the grassy knoll. I think that the neck wound and the thoracic vertebrae wound happened together.
Ooh.
Two shots. At roughly the same time.
From right? shooter one and shooter signal two. Man
from shooter one and shooter two.
Mm.
And then I think shot four and five hit Governor Connally and Lincoln, respectively. Lincoln. Kennedy.
And Kennedy. God damn, he got dumb.
Kennedy, too. Respectively. Yeah, I mean, hey, we'll get to that one.
Yeah.
So I'm a three shooter guy, personally.
So where is shooter number three?
I think he's in the school book depository.
Really?
Yeah. I think so there's one on the grassy knoll. Yeah, I think there's two in the depository.
Huh.
And I think again, I don't know who shot who from which one in the school book depository necessarily. Or they could have been on the Daltex building, honestly.
They could have been on the Daltex building.
Those angles work out for being in that building as well. So
I guess they did hyper focus on the Texas School Book Depository, so it's not like they were super hell bent on checking the Daltex building, you know?
Yeah, because that third fucking shell casing in the Texas School Book Depository is so suspect to me.
It is. It is really
suspect. Why is it so far away?
That's what's interesting, because like it's either planted or there's a second shooter, in my personal opinion, right?
Yeah.
Someone else shot a gun from up there. Mm-hmm. From the same, at least, caliber rifle, I guess I could say.
Yeah. Because the shell casings are all for the same type of bullet.
Right. Who knows how many curtain rods that Lee Oswald was carrying into there that day, you know?
Exactly. Speaking of bullets, how about that magic bullet, Arden?
I've harped on this entire series. All right.
I don't know. I don't think we need to go too deep into it here. I was gonna read the flight path of the magic bullet here, but go ahead and just go listen to episode three, if you want to get that and listen to that bullshit again.
Like, honestly, all that I have to say about the magic bullet is that the only way that the Warren Commission hypothesis works is if Lee Oswald is the only shooter, and the only way that Lee Oswald is the only shooter who shot allegedly 2 to 3 bullets is if the magic bullet theory happens. There's no way that 7 wounds happen from one bullet, especially not on that trajectory, especially not from the sniper's nest at the Texas School Book Depository. Thank you.
I think that's it. That's all that needs to be said. So the nitty-gritty, who did it, Arden? You know what? Let's talk about a couple things before we get into who did it. I think there's a little bit more here. We've got the three tramps. We didn't really address it much in the episode when we talked about it. What are your thoughts on the three tramps? Do you think they were involved? Do you think they are the CIA agents that people claimed they were? We looked at those photos.
I mean,
together.
To me, it looks like one or two of them might be the CIA agents. That third guy, that shorter guy with like the farmer's hat on, he doesn't really seem to look like the guy in the side-by-side, but also beyond that, he doesn't really seem to hold any significance to even the conspiracy side of it. Like, no one's really saying a lot about him.
I think the implication is that they were either helping the shooter escape and covering up for them, or they were the second shooters themselves, right?
That's interesting, though, because they were apprehended. You know what I mean?
Well, they were apprehended.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, is like the only way that you can say that they weren't apprehended is by putting the air quotes around it, like you just did, right? And I guess that's a possibility, especially if one or two or all three work for the CIA.
Well, because Dallas police literally took 26 years to release the identities of these three people, alleged identities of these three people.
That is true.
Like, if they weren't CIA agents, why didn't they just fucking say so? Like, day one.
Well, and you know what's interesting is that one of the agents, whose last name is Hunt, I can't remember his first name. But E. Howard Hunt. He particularly is an interesting figure when it comes to the three tramps, because he's the guy who, like, on his deathbed, admitted to being a part of a conspiracy to assassinate John F. Kennedy.
On behalf of the CIA.
And of all three of the tramps who were there that day, which is a weird sentence that I never thought I would say, but of all three of them, he's the one that looks most like the side-by-side, I would say.
Yeah.
Of the CIA agent. And so that connection there is interesting. However, I do get the feeling that these three are inconsequential to the story.
You don't think they were the shooters?
I don't think that either. I don't think any of them were shooters.
I kind of do.
Oh, yeah? Well, tell me about that a little bit.
It's just a gut feeling, mostly. I don't know.
Really?
But he was a fucking spook, dude. In Dealey Plaza.
That's true.
Getting escorted away by police.
That is true, but like...
They weren't in handcuffs, you know?
But like, what do the Dallas police have a fucking bone in this for? Like, they were fighting about who got to do the autopsy, you know what I mean?
Maybe like, they weren't actually Dallas police officers.
You know what? That is true, because we do have a police officer who was a Dallas police officer who they said they pulled audio from, and he was like, I wasn't even there, first of all. Mm-hmm. And also, like, if my mic was on, you would have only heard my motorcycle. Like, mm-hmm. What do you mean you got audio off of me? So that is, you know, you might not be far off there.
Yeah.
Maybe they were shooters. I don't know.
I wish all there was more information on them, honestly. I don't know about all three, but like, why would one of them be a shooter and two of them are just random dudes?
Dude, it's like if Umbrella Man was walking away with them, then I would be like, oh yeah. Oh, fuck that. That's what's happening right now. But like, I don't know.
Umbrella Man, the three tramps, and the babushka lady and Badge Man all just clown car into one taxi and drive away.
Exactly. that would have been a nice way to end the series, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that's in part 10.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have it. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's possible that they're one or two of the shooters. But like, if they were all in the same general area, not a one of them could have been in the Texas School Book Depository. At least not one of those three.
Nah.
So one of them might have been the shooter on the grassy knoll.
Yeah.
Which might have been Mr. Hunt, right?
Right.
Allegedly. Especially because he said he was part of an assassination plot.
But also, Arden, maybe one of them was Umbrella Man.
That is true, because the guy
it's
who
the
came
umbrella.
Forward. Yeah.
Why would you use the umbrella to signal the shooting and then keep walking around with the umbrella in the same outfit that you were wearing? You would take off the trench coat and top hat and ditch the umbrella.
Yeah, because the guy who came forward and said he was Umbrella Man is definitely not Umbrella Man.
Mm-hmm. And you know what else you would do? You would take off your shawl that makes you look like a babushka.
Are you? Come on. Come on. You're literally saying that of the three tramps, one of them is one of the shooters, one of them is Umbrella Man, and one of them is fucking Babushka Lady. I guess that shorter guy kind of has the stature of Babushka Lady.
I'm just saying. It's not impossible.
No, it's not impossible. You're right about that. It is possible. God.
Ooh, okay. What about Jack Ruby?
You know, I had a very emotional reaction to JFK Part 4, where we talked about Jack Ruby, because that was one of the more frustrating episodes for me, just because I do think that Jack Ruby is a liar. And I am frustrated with that because not only because he's the guy who, stopped us from getting a trial of Lee Harvey Oswald, which would have been instrumentally helpful in this process, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And we might have been able to get somewhat more answers out of it. But also beyond that, like, after he committed the crime, he continued to muddy the waters and make things more complicated than they had to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was kind of unnecessary of him to do. I do think that
like someone wanted him to do that.
And that's exactly what I was about to say. Perhaps his motivations came from outside of himself. You know what I mean? this is not how he feels. This is how someone else wants him to say that he feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll let you take that part.
Because he didn't really have any motivation.
No, I don't think so.
He had no reasoning to do this.
Nope. He was a nightclub owner in Dallas. No, you know what I mean?
He would have been fine. And that's what I don't get. He says he did it for Jackie Kennedy. And I think that's another little talking point here. I don't know how much there's to say about Jackie Kennedy other than it's fucking terrible. The image of her scooping her husband's brains into her lap, you know, is horrifying.
Yeah.
And harrowing, I think, is a great term for it.
Yeah.
She had nothing to do with this, obviously.
No.
And she's an absolute badass. The quote of her saying, "I want them to see what they did to my husband," and her refusing to change out of that yeah. pink pant, suit is, she was a fucking badass. She really was.
She was.
Yeah, I think that's. I don't know. Yeah. Do you have anything else to add to her?
No, I agree with you. Jackie had no part in this. And again, to speak to what Kyle was saying, like, for a human consciousness to go through what she went through, absolutely devastating. I can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm. Well, one more thing to talk about before we get to who did it, I think. And that is the absolute bullshit assery that was JFK's autopsy.
Oh, yeah. And there is a lot to talk about here. There's a lot.
Because I think that's where the fuckery began. In the cover-up aspect of this. The fact that the two different teams that inspected his body have such conflicting reports.
Yeah.
Is baffling to me.
Yes.
Because how? How? How do you come to such different conclusions looking at the same dead body?
Exactly. And something else to mention is that the autopsy, at least the initial autopsy, was rushed. And I mean, I guess there's something to be understood there in the sense of, like, it's the president. We need answers and they need to go because the United States doesn't have a president right now. I get that there's, like, that aspect to it. But it was also delayed. Sure, but like it was also delayed because like there was no legal precedent for this at the time.
Yeah.
And Texas and the like literal federal government had like a fucking quarrel over like who was going to do the autopsy.
Not for the last time.
Oof. Which I think is a fuckery thing to have happened in this circumstance.
Yeah.
Because like why is it taking so long? And again, like, why did you come to two different conclusions? And then why did people who are better at this look at this after you and also come to different conclusions?
Almost like they were trying to sell a narrative.
And I think something else that is interesting about the autopsy photos in particular, which huge trigger warning if you go look at those. But something that you brought up, Kyle, to me at least, was the fact that kind of doesn't look like JFK in those photos. And in fact, the two separate photos that I've seen of the autopsy photos, which I'm sure are the two most famous ones, even those bodies don't look like the same body when you compare the photos next to each other.
They do not.
And I think that there's a part of me that's like, that's so reaching and grasping for straws. But then there's another part of me that's like, I have fucking eyes. You know what I mean? And I know what JFK looks like.
And like, and do you think the CIA is above alive. Swapping a body?
No.
Where they draw the line?
Not to mention, if you pair this with what Kyle told us about JFK's brain matter of what was left over, it weighed 1,500 grams. Whereas the average
is more
human,
than the average brain,
a complete human brain that isn't
like 1,300
blown to bits. It's 1,300. His was 1,500 after being blown to bits. It's entirely plausible. it's entirely plausible that they made fucking dummies or used body doubles or whatever the fuck they did.
Alrighty. Let's go ahead and file through some of these whodunits here, Arden.
Yes.
Russia. I think Russia is the easiest one to rule out.
Yeah. No.
No. They didn't do it. Sorry.
There's nothing there. Sorry.
Cuba did it. Again, not really. Castro is said to have cried when he heard that JFK died. Like, they were actively working on fixing relations with the United States at the time.
And again, like, Cuba is also happy that nuclear fallout did not happen. You know what I mean? They're not mad at fucking JFK for that.
No. What about the mob?
You know, this is one that I came into the series thinking that there was going to be a little bit more meat here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just because I love Martin Scorsese movies and shit like that. But I don't really think that the mob had a hand in this, even though they had a lot of reasons to hate JFK because of their hatred for his brother Bobby Kennedy. Who again was good at his job and cracked down on a lot of shit when he was attorney general. He was cracking down on the mob pretty hard.
And we'll get into whether or not the mob killed Bobby Kennedy in a later episode.
Later. But I don't think that the mob had anything to do with JFK's assassination.
No. Which leads us to kind of the three big ones. Oswald doing it alone. Absolutely not. The math doesn't math. That fatal shot did not come from the Texas School Book Depository.
No, it didn't.
Especially when you pair that. It comes down to what you were saying, I think, looking at the Zapruder film. And I think, you know, maybe it did. Maybe it did come from the Texas School Book Depository. And then I watch how his body reacts to that fatal shot, and I have eyes. It did not come from behind him.
I really didn't. Don't think so. No. No. And I mean, again, to speak to what you were saying, like, let's not forget, even though we've said it the whole series, Oswald is a marksman at his best, right? Middle of the road.
Which is middle of the road.
He dipped down before he ended his military service. Now, could he have learned to be a better shooter outside of the military? Sure. That's not out of the question.
No.
But that was his documented rank when he was shooting in the military. Plus, he's using a bolt-action rifle to allegedly kill the president, right? And these shots happen in such fast succession that it is almost impossible for someone of his skill with that rifle to shoot those bullets that fast.
To shoot them that fast, let alone to shoot them with any kind of accuracy.
Accuracy. Mm-hmm. And so I...
tracking a moving target. Like,
So I think you add all of that together, especially his angle. He's got trees in the way. He's obstructed. Like you said, moving target. The angle's kind of weird.
We didn't even talk about the fact that there were fucking trees in the way.
Yeah. Like, just the angle is difficult. It's a difficult angle from where he's at, allegedly. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you pair all of that together, Oswald can't be the only shooter. And again, how can Oswald be the only shooter? The magic bullet theory, which is not real.
Which leads us into what I kind of think me and Arden settled on as our back-assward stance. That Lyndon B. Johnson, his vice president, with the help of the CIA and the FBI, orchestrated the pacification of Oswald and the murder assassination of JFK for a whole host of reasons.
Yes. And, you know, episode 9 was where we talked about LBJ pretty heavily and like his alleged involvement in this. And I said it to Kyle during the episode, like, that part is one of the parts of this series that has made the most sense to me. And I don't know why I never considered it as we were going through the rest of the outlines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I
was the lead on it a little bit, to be fair.
Which you're great at. But, like, I never contemplated it because of his actions in the official timeline of the story, mm-hmm. right? With the story that is distributed, he's acting like a stand-up guy in this scenario. You know what I mean? Someone who mm-hmm. wasn't doing anything wrong, was actually kind of doing a lot of things right.
Yeah.
I had a really big moment with that where I was just like, oh my mm-hmm. God, like LBJ was definitely involved, especially because we know that JFK was definitely not going to run with LBJ again for his 1964 mm-hmm. reelection, and that he was going to choose someone else. He was already like, I have a guy.
Yeah. He was ready to replace him.
And it's not to, I'm not going to sit here and say I know a lot about LBJ, but like when it comes to politicians, like a lot of them want power. You know what I mean? A lot of them do it for the sake of being the vice president or being the president. Yeah. In my personal opinion, I guess, not to get too political, but like,
why else would you do it?
He's motivated by power in this instance, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And something that Kyle and I talked about was like, you know, JFK literally embarrassed the CIA and the FBI multiple times. And who's to say that LBJ wasn't going behind closed doors and being like, hey, guys, like, I know our boss is kind of shitty. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
it'd be kind of crazy if someone else was the boss. You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
Exactly.
It's not impossible.
Yeah, they absolutely set up Lee Harvey Oswald down to like sending out an impersonator to Mexico City, which I firmly believe happened.
I believe, yeah.
And fabricating all of this communist Marxist opinionation that Oswald had.
And something that I want to bring up in this instance, I don't mean to cut you off, but
no, I was going to segue you into it. Go ahead.
Oh, perfect. So like this is something that is so telling to me from this series. And the context of this quote that I'm about to read to you is, this is allegedly Lee Harvey Oswald at the age of 16 years old, writing to the Socialist Party of America. Okay. This is crazy. The letter reads as follows. Dear sirs, I am 16 years of age and would like more information about your youth league. I would like to know if there is a branch in my area, how to join, etc. I am a Marxist and have been studying socialist principles for well over 15 months, and I am very interested in your YPSL. Sincerely, Lee Oswald. This is literally that fucking meme, that fucking joke about when cops are trying to like get you to admit that you're like smoking weed or something, and they're like, hey, fellow youths.
Yeah.
Where do you get the drugs on a fine night like tonight? You know what I mean?
Literally. It's so blatantly disinformation. And there's so much of that in this case. I mean, down to the two official investigations, the Warren Commission and the House Select Committee on Assassinations, the HSCA. These were the two official investigations that we have talked about ad nauseum throughout this entire series. And the more we've talked about them and the more I've read the Warren Commission report, the more obvious it is that they were just absolutely bullshitting.
Yeah.
The entire time. And they were getting all of their information while they were investigating the CIA and the FBI. They got all of their information from the CIA and the FBI.
Right.
Two organizations that are known at that time were already known to burn documents and straight up lie. Like, mm-hmm. why are we trusting their opinion ever? Why are we trusting what they say? ever.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's like, again, not to beat a dead horse here, because we talk about it all the time on the show, but like, what is happening at the exact same time? MK Ultra. You know what I mean? And it's like
the glue that holds this fucking show together.
But I mean, like, for real, like, and we know that that happened. The CIA, like you said, off air, they've already admitted to it at this point. And it's like, they were doing that from like 1956 to 1973. Mm-hmm. It's smack dab in the middle of MK Ultra is when JFK is assassinated.
Yeah.
They're an extremely powerful organization that managed to burn millions of pieces of paper. The only reason that we know anything about MKUltra is a filing mistake, because they filed the fucking papers wrong, mm-hmm. like the dumbasses that they are. And so, like, of course the CIA is involved in this, and of course they would not fucking admit to anything, especially nothing this serious, this consequential. Mm-hmm. With a president this well liked, with the circumstance, with everything that was going on, there is no way that they would admit.
And I think that's a perfect little segue into kind of our last talking point here. Arden had a moment in episode 7 that was really profound. I think that was kind of the episode that hit you the hardest from my point of view. And you had a moment where we literally had to stop for a second, because you were saying that you were like, it was like seeing through the Matrix and seeing that it's just all fake.
Yeah.
And that nothing is real. Nothing matters. Nothing that we do matters. You know, it's all operated on a level so far above like the average citizen. Do you maybe want to expound a little bit more on that?
Yeah, and like I don't want to bum anybody out too much, but exactly like what Kyle said, it was a really emotional moment for me, particularly during JFK 7, just because I guess for me it was so frustrating to know that there is an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And to pair this with something that we've said mostly off air, but I think this would be a good point to say it during our back assward stance, is like, this case is so saturated. There is so much disinformation that it is so hard to distinguish what is not disinformation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that's the frustrating part for me. And it also frustrates me that we get caught up on things like the babushka lady and the Mormon photo and the umbrella man, because like these things that don't actually hold any sort of weight, or that do hold weight, but we're never going to get the answers. The CIA is lock and key about it. So is the FBI. So is every single president that probably fucking knows about it, and blah, blah, blah this. I think that was where my emotional response came from, is like, we'll never know. And to be quite honest, like, JFK was a very significant man. Who knows what would have happened if he hadn't been shot and killed by who I think was the CIA.
Yeah.
It is a very, very disappointing place to be in, especially when you pair it with the horrifying things that the CIA has done, continues to do, and was doing at this time. They are so powerful. Like we mentioned, it would be crazy if I went up to Kyle and I was like, I need you to do some crazy fucking shit. You know what I mean? Because there's nothing that is actually motivating Kyle to do that. But the CIA is so powerful. And these federal agencies are so powerful. They can literally they can torture you and make you disappear like they were during MK Ultra.
And I think that's a big part of the crux. And I think this can kind of move us into our final thoughts here. That's a really big part of the crux with this story that I keep running into, that it's all on purpose, right? All of this disinformation.
Yeah.
All of these buck wild conspiracies that JFK was assassinated because he was going to reveal that aliens were real. You know, like all of this insane shit, it just muddies the waters But on a certain level, if you believe what me and Arden have come to believe, that the CIA did it, they want that to happen. But they also kind of want you to think that they did it, because that gives them power, right?
Yeah, if nothing else, it's not a problem that you believe that they did it, you know?
Exactly.
Because they don't
want the public to know that they did it, because that proves it's all fake. But the idea that they might have done it serves them very well, you know?
Yeah. And again, like, this is why conspiracy is dangerous. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, it... folks, just please be responsible, dude. Just please. My God.
Arden, any final thoughts on JFK as we're wrapping up this series here?
This was a devastating thing to have happened.
Mm-hmm.
For so many people who I don't know and never will know, and who were affected by this. Again, this was a real thing that happened to real people in real time. And whatever you think might have happened, the effects of this are astronomical. And like we were just saying, we'll never get a full answer on this. And that is always what will be frustrating about conspiracies like this.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Kyle? Do you have any parting words while you still have your professor cap on before
I mean,
fucking...
Like I said, we could really keep talking about this for months and months and months. But I think my last statement that I want on JFK, and then we'll move on, is that the CIA killed JFK so fucking hard. They killed him so fucking hard, and I'm sorry, you have to be absolutely insane to believe the mainline story that we have been told, that Oswald acted alone and that he was the only shooter. It is simply not true. And you can get that from reading the Wikipedia page, let alone getting into any kind of like academic real research into this.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you think the CIA did it, whatever. But if you believe that Oswald acted alone, I'd like don't know what to say to you. And that's all I have to say about that.
Dude, if you believe that Oswald acted alone, you believe in the flat earth and we're not friends. You know what I mean?
Literally. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. What a fucking series, Kyle. Oh, my God.
Can Ooh, I just we did take, it. We made
I,
it.
Can I just take a moment in this bonus episode? Can I please.
Let me give you the stage.
I just want to tell you. I just want to tell you how amazing you have been in this series, my friend. I want to say Thank it you. Publicly as many times as I possibly can. For the listeners at home. Doing a series like this, I think I can speak for both me and Kyle, because I did an 8-part series on this show. Doing a series like this is so fucking taxing mentally, emotionally, and Kyle brought the absolute goddamn heat for all of us here at the Backassroads podcast and for everybody at home with this series on JFK. As your podcast co-host, super, super appreciate you doing this series. You did phenomenal work, and I think that should be applauded on this show fucking forever, dude.
Thank you. To flip the script a little bit, though, I also have to applaud Arden for running the back end of the podcast for a bit here, so I can really just research and make my outlines and do this podcast. The subject justice. I don't know that I could have done that if I was also helping edit the episodes and things and getting them posted. And you've been amazing at that. These episodes have been edited so well, and I very much appreciate that. I don't know if we need to keep that in, but keep it in. Because you've done an amazing job.
It was fun to listen to them after recording them because my brain got melted twice.
Taking on a series like this is crazy, especially when, you know, thinking back to 3 months ago.
When, oh my God.
When I was like, yeah, I can do this in four, maybe five parts. Then we didn't even get to the conspiracy until part five. So thank you guys for still tuning in to listen to long series like this. It means a lot to know that you want to listen to our one part silly 10 cent beer night episodes, and also these heavier, deeper dives as well, that you guys are just along for the ride. It really means a lot to us. So thank you for that. Thank you for listening every week. We appreciate it so very much.
And please let us know what you thought about us kind of like separating the Backassward stance from the larger series and stuff like that. I'd love to hear some feedback from you folks.
You can subscribe and review if you are enjoying the show. And if you think someone else will enjoy the show, please share it with them.
Because word of mouth is the best way to spread that. Basically, the Backassards podcast solved what happened to JFK. and that they broke off their Backassward stance into its own episode. And you also... No!
You fucking know, dude. Don't even try. Don't even try to deny it. You know.
That the Backassards podcast just so happens to be, for so many reasons, your favorite podcast.
You can go ahead and listen to our previous episodes for more. I would recommend our episode on... I would recommend our episode on the Roswell incident.
Oh, my actual God. Roswell was such a fun episode. And again, Kyle, to speak to how good Kyle is at making this show fucking happen. That came at a perfect part in our alien lore on this show. It's a really good episode. Alec was on for that one, right?
Yes. Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Alec was on for that one. Oh my God, that episode was so fun. It's crazy. Dude, Roswell is fucking wild. Go give it a listen.
Please. You can follow me and Arden on Twitter. I am at Backassword Kyle. Arden is at Arden_Smith. And you can follow the podcast on all of your favorite social medias on Twitter at Backassword Pod, Instagram, Backassword Pod, TikTok, Backass Pod, and on Facebook, search the Backassword Podcast. You can also, as we mentioned at the top of the show, go ahead and join us over on Patreon. It would mean a lot. And we have so much fun over there. And you get a bonus episode. You get so much more content. Holy shit. Go. The
Wednesday phenomenon.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Arden.
And we will see you next week, unless we melted your brain way too fucking hard with this series like we did with Arden. And you need to go get your brain put back together into actually more brain matter. Fun fact. So that you can stay safe.
Oh my God. And when you are reconstructing your own brain matter, just remember that if you're going to reconstruct it, you should at least make it the same weight as another human brain, which is 1,300 grams, so that you can stay fucking weird, my friends.
The danger is real.
It's so real. Folks, please stay safe out there, and please stay weird.
We love you guys. We appreciate you. And we'll see you next week.
See you for the flying saucers.
Welcome to the Backasswords podcast. We are the Backasswords boys.
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.